Good morning. We are filing in. We have lots of new faces today, which is fantastic. And so we've got lots of people greeting each other still in the commons. As we begin our announcements, I would first like to say a huge, huge shout out to everyone who came on Wednesday and helped to pack and deliver food boxes to Park Creek and Dawnville Elementary Schools. We had a great turnout, which made the work fun and quick, albeit a little overheated, but it was wonderful. Plus, an extra big thank you to the men who lifted and transported all of those filled boxes from the floor of the fellowship hall all the way out to the backs of cars and vans that transported those boxes. We could not have done that without the muscles. If you are in town on Tuesday, we invite you to join us for our Christmas Eve service. It will be a candlelight and communion service here in the sanctuary at 5:30 p.m. We will sing praises to the Christ child and dine at his table. Today is the last official day to donate to the Christmas Joy Offering, but not to worry, we would be happy to take your money late if you need to. So please get those donations in. These funds will go to assist church workers and their families who are in financial crisis. Our church office will be closed beginning Christmas Eve through New Year's Day and will resume regular business hours on Thursday, January 2nd. If you have any pastoral care needs during that week, please contact Dick Neely. In the meantime, the Reverend Dr. Ken McKenzie will be preaching on December 29th as Bjorn and the kids and I will all be celebrating Christmas in Florida. And likewise, the children's and adult Sunday school classes will take a break on Sunday the 29th, and the morning prayer group and lunch bunch will not meet tomorrow or the 30th either. Please use this time as a little extra time to be with family and to get some much needed rest. And we have another announcement.
Good morning. This is my last official duty as chair of the staff team. It seems like I've said that several times in the past few weeks, and something keeps coming back up. But this hopefully will be the last, but it's the best. God continues to rain down his blessings on us as a church. We look forward to Christmas Day and the new year ahead. And we are pleased that we are fully staffed with exceptional leaders ready to lead us into a bright and exciting future. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work." What better time to recognize and thank those that share their gifts so willingly with our congregation. On behalf of the congregation, Nicole, Bjorn, Haejeong, Ellis, Amanda, and Hayden, please accept our gift, our love, and our appreciation for all you do.
Poor Bjorn, that was perfect timing as he entered very quietly into the sanctuary and not knowing what was going on. Thank you so much. Are there any other announcements for the good of all? Yes. Okay, so in the bulletin it says that there will be the knitting group, which meets on Thursday evenings at 5:30. There will not be knitting group the day after Christmas, but there will be, they will resume on January 2nd. Yes. Yes, Erin is not with us in the room, but she is absolutely treasured by everyone who's ever spoken to her. No worries, no worries. All right, any other announcements? Then as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship God, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the lighting of the Advent candles.
We light the candle of love as a sign of the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the Lord will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O God, and come to set us free by the righteousness of your birth in our midst, by the light of your face shining upon us, and by becoming our brother, our friend, our salvation. We pray this in the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. In the world and in this season, there are many claims on our lives. We take this time to remember that in our baptism, Christ claimed us as his own. We acknowledge before God and one another that we have not followed Jesus Christ with all our heart and mind and strength. Trusting in God's grace, say, praying first in silence. And together we pray. God, our Savior, we ask for your mercy. Though we have heard Mary's song, we still seek security and pride and power and possessions. Though we know your story, we resist the cost of following you. We pass by those considered lowly in this world. We turn away from hungry people who still wait to be filled. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to work for the justice you intend. Make us messengers of the peace you bring. As we wait for you, turn our apathy into acts of love and service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. Friends, God is for us and not against us. For that very reason, God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children up front. Come sit with me on the steps. You all did such an incredible job last week in the children pageant, didn't they? Can we give them a round of applause? You got room? Here, just sit down here. So before I get into our official children's moment, I want to ask you a very important question. What did you ask Santa for Christmas?
I asked him that I wanted for Christmas one Gabby's dollhouse with all the Gabby cats in it and two baby mangoes that were cats.
Yes, she does not mean real cats, which I don't think Santa understood yesterday when we visited him at the mall, because he said, I can't promise anything. And I was like, good Santa. But these are stuffies, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Who else? What did you ask for Christmas? You don't want to share? You don't have to. Oh, cool. It's something about blowing up. That sounds really exciting.
It's a blow-up umbrella.
Oh, like a blow-up tube? Do you get to crawl through it? No?
Like, you put like a open it, it blows up when you put your hand on it.
Oh, nice. So it like shoots balls out of it?
It's the one that you fly up in the sky when you open it.
Oh, you fly up in the sky. I think the balls fly up in the sky.
It's just like on TV.
Yeah, on TV. Mm-hmm. What did you ask for Christmas? Do you want to share? No, okay. You want to share? No, okay, that's okay. So now we'll get to the real children's moment. So in Sunday school this morning, the Faith Builders class talked about the things that we are good at and how we can use those things to help people and to serve God. Here, sit up this way. And so I want to know, what is it that you are good at? What do you do really well? Math. Yes.
Math.
Math.
I do really good of math too.
You do. What did you learn? How far did you learn to count this week?
I made my baby doll a necklace covered out of beads.
Yeah. How high did you count this week? We'll come back to it. What were you saying? What are you good at, Haynes?
I'm good at counting to 199.
Oh my goodness, 199. I don't know if I can count that high.
I could count to 100.
You can count to 100. Oh my goodness, that's so amazing. What are you guys good at? Baking. Are you good at baking? Oh my goodness, I'm jealous.
I'm good at baking.
I can cook. Don't answer that question. I can cook, but but I'm not so great at baking. How about you? You're good at math too? Oh my goodness, I'm jealous of that too. I'm not good at math. I had to work really, really, really hard.
My mom make my milk.
You can make, yes, you can help me make your milk now. So how can you use what you're good at to help other people, especially those of you who are good at math, and maybe those of us who aren't so good at math? Yeah, you could help, right? You could be my tutor. You could help me remember how to add things together. Because do you know, this is a true story, I added 1 + 1 in the history class I was teaching, and I got 1. I said that there were 100 people on the first ship to Jamestown and 110 on the second. 110 and then 120. See, I can't even remember that. And then I said, so that was 130 total people. And every hand in my class went up, and they were like, 1 + 1 = 2, so it was 230 people. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. We can use our talents to help other people, right? If you're good at baking, you could bake goodies for people that are not feeling so good and take it to their house, and then they feel better, because who doesn't feel better after eating some chocolate brownies? But here's the problem, and I bet there's a lot of adults out here that are guilty of this. We tend to think that what we're good at and what makes us special, what makes us different, is what makes us worthy of love. Which means that adults especially get nervous when we get a little bit older or things start becoming more difficult. Maybe it's harder to remember things. Maybe it's harder to do the things that we used to do. And we worry that because we can't do those things anymore, that somehow our value has gone down. Did you know people feel like that?
Mommy, I have a boo-boo from the side of my hand.
You do, I see that. I'll kiss it later, okay? So, but here's the good news. And this is what we're talking about today, because today's topic for Advent is love. And the really, 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 really good news for all of us to remember is that no matter whether we are good at something or really bad at something like math, that doesn't change how much we're loved. Because God loves us just because we are children of God. And you don't ever, ever stop being a child of God, no matter how old you get, or no matter whether you can do things or not do things. Isn't that great?
I
see.
Like yeah. Was 7 times 2.
Don't tell me 7 times 2. Okay, will you pray with me? All right. Creator God, thank you for making me special and for giving me a heart that wants to help others feel special too. When life gets hard, remind me how much you love me. And help show me how to love others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's go back to our places.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. O mighty one, who scatters the proud and fills the hungry, by your Holy Spirit, let your word leap in us and bring to our yearning the joy that comes with new beginnings and renewed lives. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Micah, chapter 5. Listen for God's word. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. Listen now for the word of God. In those days, Mary set out and with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination in their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was little, I wanted nothing more than to grow up to be a mother. My own mother gave me a small doll when I was barely old enough to walk. I carried that little baby around with me everywhere I went. By the time I was 10, I often found myself caring for the neighborhood children while their mothers were busy running errands. I could even be a little bossy at times, almost as though I were trying to mother anyone younger than me. Even at a young age, I worried whether I would be able to have children. I had heard all the stories of women in the Bible who had wanted children, but who could not conceive. Of Sarah in her old age, of Rachel who was loved by her husband, but teased by others for her barrenness, of Hannah, who prayed so desperately for a child. I had even seen the pain in my own cousin as she was so desperately wanted a baby, but had passed the age of being able to conceive. Of course, in order to become a mother, I had first to become a wife, or so I thought. That's the natural order, right? That's what God expects of me, isn't it? So imagine my surprise when I was resting under a tree and a man approached me saying that my cousin was actually pregnant and that I too would soon give birth to a child. At first, I thought perhaps he was under the influence of drugs or alcohol, or maybe he had trouble with mental health and was hallucinating. Yet when he told me not to be afraid, that he was sent by God to tell me these things, I believed him. Against all common sense, I believed him. I told him I would accept what he had told me to be true, and may God deal with me as he pleases. But of course, the man left, and eventually I had to get up from under that tree. I had to walk home. I had to sit down and eat dinner with my parents. I had to wake up again the next morning. And worst of all, I had to face my fiancé, knowing he would not understand what had just happened. What on earth would he think of me now? The more I thought about it, the more nauseous I became. Was this the pregnancy hormones, or was I simply having a mental breakdown? I decided to go visit my cousin. She had always been a wise woman. She might be able to shed some light on all this mess. Plus, if I got to her and found out that she was not pregnant, well, then I could just pretend that all of this had been a very lucid daydream, and I could go back to life as I had planned it. I would marry Joseph and get on with just being me. Of course, if Elizabeth was pregnant, well, I would just have to cross that bridge when I got to it. It was a pretty long journey to get to Zachariah and Elizabeth's house. Unfortunately, that gave me a lot of time to think. What if all of this was true? I mean, what if I really was going to have a baby? Why would God pick me? For heaven's sake, I'm just a young girl, barely old enough to have been matched with a prospect of marriage in the first place. And why would I be chosen to be the mother of a king from David's line? Seriously? Sounds a little too messianic for me. Didn't the prophets promise that the one from David's line would restore the people of Israel to power? Am I supposed to watch my baby grow up to lead armies against Rome? Plus, my people are from Nazareth. Didn't Micah say something about she who is in labor bringing forth a child in Bethlehem of Ephrathah? Joseph's people are from Bethlehem, not mine. Or is there some connection that I haven't seen yet? What if I'm just not cut out for motherhood? I mean, surely I'm a fairly decent babysitter. But if this is truly the one who is from old, from the ancient times, the one who will shepherd the people of God, what if I screw up as a mother? Will my weaknesses pass on to him? Will I somehow negate his power that he's supposed to have? I don't know how to raise a king. My people are farmers, peasants. We can barely take care of ourselves, especially with the Romans breathing down our necks, demanding more and more taxes each year. Plus, if this child is supposed to be our savior, how is he supposed to be the one of peace? It's going to take a lot more than that to put the Romans underfoot. Well, just as I was about to give up all hope, I saw Elizabeth's house coming into view. Even in my sluggish, out-of-breath condition, I jumped from the cart and ran to see her. It was almost as if my entire future were riding on her words of wisdom and comfort. Maybe she could help me see my way forward. Then, as I rounded the corner, she looked up at me and cried out. I thought maybe she had cut herself in surprise while she was making dinner. But instead, she clutched her swollen belly as tears welled up in her eyes. She ran over to me and hugged me so tightly. Then she put my hand on her belly, and I felt her child moving inside her. The baby was already big enough to push her abdomen out as he kicked and pushed. I could actually feel his tiny foot pushing and rubbing against my hand. Then Elizabeth did something that completely caught me off guard. She put her hand on my belly. How could she possibly have suspected that I might be with child as well? I'm not even showing yet. I must have looked terrified to her because she said gently, as if to reassure me, as she took my face in her hands, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." All at once, every fear and anxiety I had been wrestling with evaporated. My shoulders relaxed and I just melted into her arms, tears streaming down my face. Then she said softly as she held me tightly, "And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" As though she were the one who had needed to see me. But wait, she called me the mother of her Lord. So it was true. My child would be the savior everyone had been waiting for. Yet I wasn't afraid anymore. Instead, I suddenly felt as if I had known all along, even since the very beginning, that this would be my fate. As though every breath I had breathed on this earth had been preparing me for this moment. Elizabeth told me that when she saw me, her child leapt for joy. Now, for the first time, I knew in my heart that I was truly loved beyond measure. And I knew I would sacrifice anything to protect the life that was growing inside of me. I couldn't keep it in any longer. I burst into song, just like one of those corny musicals where they're having a serious conversation and everyone breaks out in song and dance. I couldn't help it. This overwhelming joy and elation poured out of my mouth as if someone else was giving me the words to say. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he was looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on, generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Some of the words even surprised me as I sang them, words that spoke of what was to come. Things that my child would do in this world. These were dangerous words if anyone but Elizabeth had heard them. These were traitorous words if anyone who accepted the status quo in the lands conquered by Rome. But I had no more room for doubt or hesitation. These promises could not be contained. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Systems were about to be overturned. Those of us who struggled to survive would be saved. Those who manipulated and extorted the poor and vulnerable in society were about to be defeated. The powerful would be cast aside and the lowly would be lifted up instead. Those with plenty to eat would know hunger for the first time, while those who were starving would know what it feels like to be full. And my child, my baby, how would I ever bring myself to let him go? I had anticipated holding my own infant, of nursing my own little one someday, for as long as I can remember. How soon would I be asked to hand him over to God? For Hannah, it was only a few short years. As soon as little Samuel was old enough to eat solid foods and walk on his own without her help, I don't think I could bear to let go of him that soon. Oh God, what have I agreed to? Give me strength. Give me courage. Please join me as we affirm our faith together, reciting the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, let us pray together. Holy God, you reveal yourself in so many ways, especially in your Son, Jesus Christ. We gather up the prayers of this community for the church, the world, and all in need, confident that you know our deepest thoughts and will refresh our spirits. We pray in the name of the one who transforms principalities and powers and renews the heavens and the earth, as we pray even now, come, Lord Jesus. For the church, we pray for our sisters and brothers in Christ who gather as we do on this day all over the world, in house churches and storefronts, on reservations, in townships and base communities, among immigrants, in hospital chapels and prisons, and with persons who are dying. Wherever the church is found on frontiers of mission and service, empower its witnesses to strengthen and stretch the vision of your people, as we pray even now, come, Lord Jesus. For the earth and all creatures, we pray for healing and well-tending of all that you have given us, for water and air, soil and stars, for creatures that roam the seas and those that fly thousands of miles in migration, for mammals and reptiles, insects and microbes in swamps and forests and in our own homes, yes, even for spiders. Show us their beauty and our need for them as we pray, even now, come, Lord Jesus. For an end to violence, oppression, and injustice, we pray for all who sing with Mary a song of joy for deliverance, for all people who long to hear your promise of good news, for all peacemakers, for governments that hold at the heart of their work the needs of people otherwise invisible, for all people left homeless and destitute by the greed of others. Lead your people from darkness to light as we pray even now, come, Lord Jesus. For Mary and Joseph in every land, we pray for all people who face the enormous vocation of raising children, for biological parents and adopting parents, for grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends, for children who long for a parent's or guardian's love and care, for children who will be born today, and especially for those who are born into hunger and insecurity. Let the light of your desire for our well-being shine through all children as we pray even now, come, Lord Jesus. For those we hold dear and those who have asked for our prayers, we pray for everyone who is in any need today, for the lonely, for all people who are anxious at this time of year, for our elders in nursing homes, for people who cannot find work, and those whose work is not life-giving for them, for those we name on our prayer list, and those whom we now call out, whether out loud or in our hearts. For our own lives, we pray that Mary's song of joy and Joseph's loyalty will be magnified in us. Fill us with the breath of Advent. Stir us to extend ourselves beyond what we thought possible. Show us that, like Mary, we need not fear. With the whole church, we cry, "Let it be," trusting in your promises as we pray the words you taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Friends, God does not desire us to bring burnt offerings and sin offerings, but instead asks that we do God's will. So we bring God now the offerings of our lives and our labors with the prayer that God's will be done through them. Let us pray. You deliver us, O God, from exile, separation, and despair into communion with each other, with you, and with your good news. We thank you for all that draws us close together astounding us with lives transformed by gratitude. Accept our gifts as signs of our gratitude for what you give us every day and as honor to your presence in our world, for the sake of those who stand in need, and in the name of Jesus Christ who saves us. Amen. Friends, God has shown you what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.